Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How many of y'all have some joy this morning? All right, I got this side over here. They have some joy. Boy, I'm telling you, I don't know about what's going on with Joel, but y'all better watch out. I am so honored once again to be here at Redeemer, I like to say, with my family. And I'm honored, and if I can speak for my literal family, thank you all for being so gracious and hospitable to us, spoiling my daughters with the donuts in the morning. That has given them a great rush for children's ministry. But truly, it is an honor to be with you. I would like, if you don't mind, to introduce us another part of my family. I'm going to embarrass them. My brother-in-law, Corey, my sister-in-law, Kendra. And their wonderful sons, Corey Jr. and Maurice. I saw Maurice looking at the drum. He's a drummer, so let y'all know right now he might come up to stage and start playing on the drums. I do ask that you give my wife a prayer for her this morning as she's in Washington, D.C. Her flight got changed, had to leave out early this morning to beat the weather storm there, but she does send her greetings and her hellos. As been heard in your reading this morning, we've been walking through Luke chapter 15 for the past three Sundays, and I hope that it's been encouraging to you as it's been encouraging to me, and that God cares for lost people. I know some of us who've been saved for a mighty long time, sometimes that becomes a distant fact for us, and that God cares for lost people. But you know what? God not only cares for lost people, he does care for us as children as well. So hopefully you've been seeing that through Luke. God says, I want to celebrate you. It is so intriguing to me that it says that when one person, when one sinner repents, there's celebration in heaven. And I said, wow, people want to celebrate me? I mean, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who did something for me. All right, good. I want y'all to loosen up a little bit. It's cold outside, but it's warm in here because of joy. And so we began with looking at a magnetic ministry where we looked at the first part of Luke chapter 15 through 1 through 3. And that sets up this whole parable because we see that not only that all the sinners and tax collectors were drawn to see Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes came as well. They came to see Jesus not to hear of his glorious message, but to poke fingers. You know anybody that want to poke fingers at everything good that you say? And that's what they wanted to do with Jesus. And it says in the text that they began to murmur. Why? Because he was healing people? Because he was providing for people? No. Because he welcomed these sinners, these tax collectors. And not only did it allow them to come to him, but he ate with them. And so their distaste, their disdain, their just ignorance of who Jesus is. Jesus says, well, let me answer your question in a parable. And I think I introduced to some people the word snuck. I don't know if y'all have been snuck before, but I was talking about when I grew up that we used to play this game and you walk down the hallway of your school and you come up behind somebody and you just hit them in the back of the head. Some of y'all looking at me like, what? Is that allowed? But that's what Jesus does with parables, because if you notice, he takes natural things. He takes everything that we think is normal in life, and he uses it to teach a principle. And here in this passage, he takes everyday things. The first parable, the lost sheep. I don't know if they have any sheep herders in here, but would you leave 99 of your flock to go after one? That's God's determination for you. Because many of us, we have nibbled our way away from him. And he says, I'm going to leave 99 and come after you. When's the last time somebody says, I love you so much, I'll sacrifice everything for you? Or what about the next parable of that of the woman who lost a coin? I know some of us, we say, well, you know, it's only a dollar. But for her, it was so precious. And we talked about how she is not imitating God, but she's imitating the characteristics that God, guess what? He feels for lost people, he considers for lost people, and he deals with lost people because God diligently came after us. Oh, the reckless love of God. And now God says, Jesus says, you know what? Let me just sum everything up because I see some of you in the back there are kind of looking like, I don't care about no shepherd because that's too beneath me. I don't care about a woman because I don't like dealing with them. They talk a whole lot during the day. And so Jesus says, let me go ahead and get you. And here we started the reading in verse 25, but if I can just go up to verse 11 for a very popular parable that we're very familiar with, and that's the prodigal son. Some of us, we see prodigal son, we say, yeah, that's my cousin Jim Bob over there. Yep, I know about the prodigal son. How dare he go in there and ask father for money? Yeah, hello, somebody. Once again, he asked for money so he can go out there and spend all. You know what I'm talking about, huh? He's going to go out there. He's just going to party it up. And he goes out there and he party up, but this time he really hits rock bottom. I mean, he's asking, could he have the same food that the pigs eat on? That's kind of rock bottom there. And so the prodigal son, we're like, yep, I'm so glad I ain't like the prodigal son. I mean, I didn't ask my parents for my inheritance early. You didn't see me out there on the other side of town. Yeah, I mean, come on, don't you know who I am? My last name is fill in the blank. I mean, I went to the good schools. You know, I made sure I paid attention in class and that everybody would know that I was the good child, not a prodigal. And so too many times we look at the prodigal son and we want to disdain the prodigal son, but can I get you just for a moment to realize that the story is not about the prodigal son. The star of the story, the key person of the story is the father himself. And so the prodigal son might have went out into a far country, but he came to himself and realized, if I just humble myself for a moment and be a servant for my dad, maybe, just maybe, he'll allow me to hang out with him for a minute. Have you been estranged in a relationship that's been so bad that finally you came to yourself? You said, wow, you know what? Even if they just sent me a Christmas card, I'll be good. And so the prodigal son is good, but Jesus says, let me deal with all of y'all with this last part of my parable. And in verse 25, he says, now the older son. See, we forget that there's two sons, and we're quick to split them down the middle and say the prodigal was. Pfft. But what about lessons from the elder brother? It tells me here that the older son was working in the field, and I don't know about you, it's good to have a job. It's good to be able to get paid. It's good to be able to help out the family, but there's some people like the elder brother that he has some issues. And so if you allow me just take for a few moments to realize that you got to be careful that you don't come to the party because of your anger, your pride, and your error. Your anger, your pride, and your error. These are three large rocks that sometimes hinder us from joining in the party. And so it says in Luke chapter 15 that the elder son was out in the field. He was working. You know, he was getting his paycheck. And matter of fact, isn't it nice when family work in the field and they help you out too? Because I can just imagine the elder son, you know, he's working in the field. And he's telling people, this is my dad's area, but he's allowing me to work it. Yeah, you see the name on that sign right there? That's us. Come on now. How many of y'all would like to have your last name be Jerry Jones? Hello, somebody. And so the elder son, he's working in the field, and I don't know about you, he's trying to get up US 75, cross over 635, maybe to make it to the tollway, and all of a sudden he sees fireworks and music playing? Let me put my sanctified glasses on. He says here in the text, he says, hold up. I see dancing, music playing. Something ain't right. This ain't the 4th of July. This ain't my birthday. Notice I said my birthday. And so, you know, he picks up his Motorola, his Android phone, and he says, hey, what's going on here? And it's interesting to me because he's questioning what's going on because he's not used to having any joy in his life. He's used to working in the field so hard, but all of a sudden he sees something going on at home that's not the norm in his life. Have we become so religious that we work in the field of ministry, but we don't have any joy? Have we become so used to being on this battlefield for our Lord, then once in a while when partying does go on, we're like, what's that over there? Lessons from the elder brother is telling us that we have to be careful that we don't just be working in the field and we forget about joy in what we're doing. But our first point here, it talks about the elder son's anger. Because after the servant tells him, hey, guess what? Your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. And what does verse 26 say? He became angry. Now, some of us would like to put in our real thoughts in here. Why are you mad? Or can I get to 2019? Why are you hating, bro? I mean, why are you hating? Your brother, he was lost, and now he's found. And dad wants to say, let's have a party. But it says the elder brother, he became angry, frustrated. Why do we think he became angry? Well, I believe that at one point he probably became angry because why would the father pour out so much grace on someone who squandered a natural gift? I believe the elder brother said, why would you give a party? Don't you know what he did? Didn't you see how he embarrassed you? And now you want to throw a party? That don't make no sense. Surely the elder brother thought, okay, one day he might come back home. We just allow him to come back into the house. We let him live in the basement where nobody knows that he's back here. People ask about him. We just say, well, you know, he's doing life. Ain't that what we like to say? What do we like to say when someone was so lost in their sin and all of a sudden the gospel message gets a hold of them? Do we like to throw a party or do we say, well, let's just watch him? Not sure. We got to check him out. The other brother, he becomes angry that, daddy, you threw him a party. Maybe the elder brother had this thought. He became angry because did the father forget all about his transgressions and just throw him to the side? My brothers and sisters, God does not just forget about your sins. He covers them with his love, his grace, and his mercy. If I could have you go back up a little bit, a few verses in 15, when the prodigal son came to himself, the father ran to him. And what did he do? He said, get him a robe, get him a ring, and put some shoes on his feet. Have you ever been to the point when you realize that your sin was so bad, you said, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If I withdraw myself from thee, whether shall I go? And did God say, well, hold up a minute. I want you to take care of a few things. No, God says, thank you for your cry out to me. My son shed his blood for you. So now I'm going to cover the transgressions. I'm going to put a robe on you. The righteousness of my son. I'm going to put some gospel peace on your feet so you can walk around. All of a sudden, you're going to have a new bling. Bling, bling, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. The elder brother became angry. Because I believe he thought that the father just forgot all about the sins and threw a party. Can you see yourself in the text? I was brought up that you look for two people in the text, God and yourself. I see God throwing a party. But sometimes I see myself getting angry because I think the party should be for me. And so my brothers and sisters, I don't want us to miss the party. Don't allow our flesh and the evil one to sear our conscience and we become upset because it looks like the other is getting more blessed than we are. We've been in the field a mighty long time. Don't get so wrapped around the axle because you see the church or the entity down the street got big numbers and big dollars and big cars and we've been here on this corner for a mighty long time, my brothers and sisters. Join the party. Don't let your joy be taken away because you're a little angry. It's okay, I understand you get upset. We get frustrated, but remember the goal. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save those that were lost. Come join the party and don't let our anger separate us. But then the text continues to move because it says not only did the other brother become angry, but in verse 29, he replied to his father, look, I've been slaving many years for you and I have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. I'm starting to smile because the next point is sometimes we miss the party because of our pride. And I'm smiling because I'm remembering how many times that my mom must have loved me so, said, boy, I could take you out of this world right now. Because a lot of times in our life, we don't want to admit it, but we allow pride to hinder us from joining a party. And see, the elder son here, he says, he just amazes me. He looks at his daddy, and he says, look, when the last time you look at your parents said, look here. Everybody hold up your fingers. You got all 10 of your fingers? Okay, good. If I could just tell on myself for a moment, if I can just embarrass my mom some more, because I love her so much. I remember too many times when you know you think you're a little grown, and I don't remember the exact words that I said, but I said something underneath my breath. Y'all ever done that? Been asked to do something and you like. Now some people used to laugh, but my mom's 4'11", but she was the one when I started getting into wrestling. She used to practice with me on the floor. My mom's 4'11", and she may not have a loud voice, but when I was playing on the playground and she wanted me to come here, I heard her voice loud and clear. And there were times when underneath my breath, my pride would kick in, and all of a sudden I would see either some knuckles somehow get somewhere across my mouth. I don't know where. She must have been a ninja. There were times where I let pride, and I think I'm in the other room separated by at least three walls, and she said, I heard that. What am I getting at here? The elder brother, after he becomes angry, he becomes prideful because he says, look here, Father. I've been slaving with you for many years. Do you see that in the text? I thought he just loved his father so much that he wanted to stay around the family business. Pride will lead us into duty versus devotion. The elder brother, he lost his devotion for his father, but yet he says, look here, I've been slaving for you. You got me out here in the fields. I'm working night and day. I'm balancing the books. I'm downloading the boxes. I'm managing the people. I'm doing all this stuff, and yet you ain't throwing me a party. Is that the way some of us have entered our last business meeting here in the ministry? Let a little pride come in. I happened to notice on the last program my name was not listed in the program. I mean, granted, all I did was bring the box donuts, but my name was not listed on the program. I finally took those two crumpled $2 I had and I put it into the plate, but I didn't see my name on the program here. Many people tell me we chuckle at the truth. And because we allow our pride to come in and we look at ministry and we look at living for Jesus as a duty versus a devotion. And we become like the elder brother in that now, instead of saying, oh, my brother's home, let me join the party. Let me get these work clothes off. Let me join the party. No, we come in saying, look here. We start to treat the father like we treat the CEO at work. Look here. You know how many years I've been working here? You do see my resume, do you not? And Jesus he's speaking to the Pharisees and scribes, guess what? Not just of the first century, but of 2019, and he's here to remind us, is your heart for me? Or is it because you just used to doing things? God says, no, be careful.
But I want you to see something else here. Although the elder brother was angry and prideful at the father was not angry and prideful at the son. Did you see that in the text? Can you imagine the father just standing there and say, He might have said one word. Excuse me. Go ahead, son. Keep on talking. Can you see that? Because if you just imagine for a moment, what does your prayer sound like some mornings when you pray to God? Is it that of devotion or of duty? Better get my prayer time in. I want no Christian saying, hey, did you have quiet time? Oh, yes, I did. Pride gets in the way, and sometimes we miss the party. And if I can harp on one more thing here, look at what he says. He says, I've been slaving these many years for you. And then the next clause, I like this. I never disobeyed you. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but one of all my youth who's never disobeyed their parents to raise their hand. Uh-huh. I got one. He's going to join me on stage as a comedian. He said, yeah, me. But did you see that pride says, I never disobeyed you. Really? You never disobeyed at all. Never. Ever, ever. What about children honoring your father and mother, which is right? I see here, he says he never disobeyed. I mean, it starts out in the text. He goes, I've been slaving for you. I never disobey you. My party, my goat. I, me, my. Three great pronouns that bring you away from the Lord and into yourself. He says, I never disobeyed you. And I can just imagine the father, because if anything like my parents said. Here's the point I want to get across. Too many times we are in the right place, but with the wrong attitude. The elder brother, he's in the right place. I think that at the beginning, maybe he had a right heart to stay with his father and to work the field and to be obedient. But guess what? All of a sudden, he starts to get the wrong attitude, because now instead of the devotion, it becomes duty, because now it's me, mine, and I. He goes, you came here and gave your other son a party at Perry's Steakhouse, and you didn't even take me to Wendy's. Look at here. It's time for you to pay up. Can you see the parallel? The prodigal son says, I need my money now so I can go to a far country. The other brother says, it's time for you to pay up now, because look at what I did. The prodigal son, he goes to the far country to spend everything on righteous living. The elder son, guess what? He did not get anything tangible to spend, but he spends his soul and dwelling on himself and not his father. The prodigal son goes to a far country to be with prostitutes. The elder son stays at home to have an illicit affair with himself. Y'all would say amen this morning. The parallel is evident. Don't get it twisted. You could be in the house but still separate from the father. You could be sitting up here looking at me cross-eyed and said, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm saved. And that's all. You don't want to help. You don't want to reach. You don't want to give. And you don't want to humble. These are characteristics that Jesus is saying, Pharisees and scribes, look here, you're like the elder brother. You're in the house, but still separated. You have all the gifts, but no joy. You have my access 24/7, but don't want to love on me. You want to love on yourself. My brothers and sisters, I'm just preaching to me. Because too many times I see my life like this. Too many times I would stay in church and play church. I used to have a bad moniker on myself, and please, no one pick this up. I'm telling you the bad side. I used to think I was a chameleon Christian. There were times I'll be around certain people and I act this way. There were times I was around these type of people and I act that way. But all along, when I make sure when I go home, you know, to the home folks, you don't want to act up, right? You want to make sure you... looking clean. And all the while, like Jesus says, Baxter, you're nothing more than washed tombs. I'm dead on the inside because there's no joy. I look at God's grace, and as Phil Yancey says, I make it ungrace. See, what happens is God's grace is always there, but whenever we allow pride to come in, it's like we tell God, no, thank you, I don't need your gift. We look at God each and every week, and God says, here's some more grace, here's some more strength. Say, no, I got it. Matter of fact, don't you owe me something? Haven't I not been doing this thing for you, God, all these years? Where's my stuff? Let's reconcile accounts here, God. And once again, what do we see the Father do? Stays right there. The Father is just right there. And it baffles me, Brother Dave. I'm thinking, if that was my child. Hold it, where's Child Protective Services? Okay. But you see it in the text. We introduced it last week of God's reckless love for us. And Jesus is also trying to remind us, look at grace in action. I am so angry at you, Father, but I'm not angry at you. I'm so prideful, Father, but I don't want you to be prideful and separated from me. You know what, my son? Let me just sit here and let you get it out. Have you been to that point, that area of a life where God just sits there and looks at you and says, please get it out? It's just a wonderful picture of the gospel again. Because what did our Lord and Savior do on that old rugged cross? I grew up hearing his words that he never said a mumbling word. He just listened. Look at him up there. I thought he was God. Why don't you just come down and save yourself? He ain't about nothing. Hit him again. Hit him again with your pride. Hit him again with your anger. Stab him in the side because you have no joy. Put a crown on his head because you don't want to show love. Pierce him in his feet because people are beneath you. Oh, the Father says, I'm here for you, son. Don't allow the pride to hinder you from joining a party. Don't allow the anger to hinder you from joining a party. Pick up with me in verse 30. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Verse 31, son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. So we see how the anger of the elder brother is a lesson for us not to miss the party. We see how pride from the elder brother is a lesson for us not to miss the party. And thirdly, let's not miss the party because of the error of our ways. This elder brother, he says, you ain't give me my calf, you didn't give me this, you didn't give me that. And the father says, son. The error sometimes that we think is that we forget our relationship with the Father. He says, son. Notice he didn't come back like some of us heard when we was growing up. Hey, boy. Hey, girl. Like, man, they didn't know my name. Son, I am still in relationship with you, but you're allowing the error and the evil one to confuse you and think you're not in relationship with me. If we have a sin and we do not confess it, who's the shame on, the Father or on us? The Father said, I'm still in relationship with you. Matter of fact, let me demonstrate how I'm in relationship with you. You're here and I'm here. Have you realized this morning, just by you sitting here in this church on this day looking at me, that God has been faithful and in a relationship with you? Do you not recall the medical diagnosis that was given to you a few days, weeks, months, or years ago? And guess what? I know God is able because you're here today. Do you remember when you were separated from your biological or natural parents or guardians, and that was such a bad, estranged relationship, you didn't think you were going to make it, and where you're at today? Looking at me, there is a God. And he does not want you to forget the relationship with him. Because he says, guess what? Jesus says, and the writer writes in Hebrews, he is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And you ought to shout and give some joy in your heart this morning. And that although the enemy wants to put error in your mind and says, don't go to that party because you don't have everything. The evil one wants to keep you grounded. God wants to lift you and raise you up. Paul writes, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have all the fatted calves we could ever have. Don't let that error slip by you. Then the Father goes on to say, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Have you really tried God? I know sometimes we go to Malachi and we look at the verse. God says, prove me now in this, if I would not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Have you really tried God? Now, I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. Please, don't get it twisted. The only prosperity gospel I'm glad that Jesus died for me. But God does, he does stand there like this. Father says, slow down just a minute. Did you really ask me for what you want, or did you just assume? My wife's not here, so I can embarrass her. I love in our early days of marriage, and my wife taught me a great valuable lesson, so I'm going to give it to you for free, unless you want to give me a donation. No. And this is kind of towards the brothers, but it's for everybody. One day my wife says, what would you like to eat for lunch? Oh, I'm sorry. Put you in a place. We're driving in a car. What would you like to eat for lunch? And so what do y'all think I said? Some of y'all laughing. Whatever you like to eat. Oh, I got some men like, oh, yeah. Y'all been to this lesson before, right? And because my wife loves me so much and she doesn't want me to make the same error, she goes, no, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, what do you want to eat? Because, see, if you want Burger King and I want McDonald's, both places have a drive-thru and we can go to both destinations. But don't try to assume you know what I want to try to please me with false humility. I'm low, somebody. And God says, in your prayers, don't try to assume how I'm going to answer. Just pray and ask. Everything I have is for you. But watch this now. I still have sovereign control to say, maybe not now. Or I have something better for you. Or no, because that will hurt you. My brothers and sisters, let's not be like the elder brother and think that just because we're with the Father that we never have access or his things. God himself says, I love you with an everlasting love. And he says, if you lack wisdom, what does he say? Ask of me. He says in Proverbs 3, 5, 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And he says, I want to direct your paths. He goes, do you desire something? I love Psalm 37. He goes, guess what? If you ask of me, he would give us the desires of our heart. But watch this now. Go up to verse 3. Commit yourself unto the Lord. The lesson from the other brother is telling us, don't err and think that we don't ever have anything from God. We can never get anything from God. But I tell you what, if it's through duty, you'll come up short. But if it's through devotion, you'll start to experience an abounding joy that you never experienced before. As I prepare to close this lesson, I'm reminded of a man who was, in his day, considered the worst sinner. He was known as a womanizer. He was known as a drunkard. He was known as just a bad guy. But at a crisis at sea, God spared his life. And this man became a pastor, and he not only wrote sermons, but he wrote songs. And many of us know one of his famous songs. His name is John Newton, Amazing Grace.
how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. My brothers and sisters, let's not miss the party through our anger, through our pride, or through error. Please come join the party.